Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Station 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more online about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, it's not very often that a broadcaster gets to interview a broadcaster, but that's what's going to be happening here today. And I might add, this is a lady who's been in this business not for a week or two, but for quite a while. And she's now a resident of lovely Rock Hill, South Carolina. May I introduce Ms. Nikki Huckabee. How are you?
Manning, I am honored to be with you today. You are the legend here in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
I just feel
honored to be here on Straight Talk and get a chance to be a part of this legendary show. 30-some-odd years, you told me, you've been on the air here at Substation 2.
Cherry Road across from with it. Slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
I've got right. It. Slice, 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 garden, garden,
She's
garden.
She's got it ready. All right.
Got it right.
So, since you've only been here a few months, you need to tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Would love to. So, for those of that don't know me, I actually went by Nicole Boone on the air for the CBS affiliate in the Myrtle Beach, Florence, South Carolina market for television, also covered southeastern North Carolina. I was the main evening co-anchor for 27 years.
Whew.
Actually, my co-anchor was Bob Juback, and he was a sports guy, and we were one of the longest running anchor teams in the country.
Awesome.
30 some odd years in the business in television. So that's my story, and I am originally from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Okay.
Went to college here in Rock Hill at Winthrop.
Uh-huh. Is that how you met Watts?
That is how I met Watts, yes.
Yeah.
We were in our, well, I was in my senior year. He took a little longer. He went one extra year, so he says. But we dated for just, you know, maybe 2 months, just a little blip on the radar that my last year. And, you know, we went our merry way after that. And then we
got reunited.
I graduated in 88. He had the extra year and didn't talk to him for a long time. And then
we
both were in other marriages and those dissolved. And then we saw each other one more time in 2010.
Kaboom.
And I was like, that didn't work. And then 2017, we saw each other again and it did work. And lo and behold, two people that were never getting married are married. So
never say never, right?
Never say never. Yes.
So when you look at 27, let's just call it 30 years.
Yes.
As an anchor.
Right.
With the same person.
That's
all these years.
That's right.
To say that's extraordinary is probably an understatement.
It's actually unbelievable. If you think about it, Manning, and you are in this industry, so you know how things change. So you're looking at general managers coming in one after the other, news directors coming in one after the other. You're looking at consultants that come in, and they need to make change because they need to justify why they're there, to tell you what you're doing wrong or right. I mean, you know, they've got to make a difference if a company is hiring them to do something. And then you look at the fact that television stations often get bought. So our TV station, our company, was bought several times during my 30-plus year span there. So during all that time, we counted it up. I mean, we're talking dozens of general managers and news directors, if you combine them, and then the fact that my company and the station was bought several times while I was there. But through all of that, my co-anchor and I, we always maintained our positions. That is really unbelievable that somebody would get that.
So people understand, you're not the only television station in that marketplace.
Oh, no. We have the ABC and an NBC affiliate.
Right.
And, of course, we are the CBS affiliate. And we did remain dominant. We've always been number one. So, of course, that's been a blessing. But still, to have that many people come and go as, you know, in management, and you're still there. That's pretty good.
You know, the other thing that amazes me is that in your business, particularly in the market size that you're in, it's driven by ratings.
Absolutely.
Numbers, you know, as we've talked about before, numbers are the most important thing because that's what drives the advertising dollar.
That's right.
In the television business.
That's correct.
So to maintain sufficient numbers all those years says kudos about you and your anchor, and I guess about the product that you're putting out there.
100%. Of course, we are a 65-year-old station. We actually were owned by BTV out of Charlotte at one time. So,
did not know that.
Yes. So there's a local connection for folks here. And yes, to be able to maintain those ratings for that long, that really is a big deal, especially as the market changes and you have more and more people now that get their news from different sources. Mm. You know, as you know, technology has changed greatly. So it used to be appointment television. People sat down, or, you know, they knew when the news came on at 6 o'clock. They knew when it came on at 11. Well, then you started adding all of these newscasts, but then you also started adding websites, social media, now the phone, getting the text messages, the alerts, the email blast. It's a whole new ball game. And to still maintain your number one status in a market that is growing by leaps and bounds, we probably started off as market 140 something, and then now we're in the 90s. That shows you the population growth along the Grand Strand of South Carolina, especially in Horry County.
I had an item on Palmetto Mornings last week. U.S. News and World Report came out with one of these stupid things about the 10 most desired cities and the states and the 10 least desired states. And, of course, South Carolina was in the least desired state and category. And I said, well, that's very interesting since we are now over 5 million people. Who else is growing at the rate we're growing at? We must be doing something right.
Hey, I can tell you, they're all moving south. That's
Amen.
Amen. You know, I don't know about those.
So let's talk about what's a routine day like in the life of an anchor?
Well, in the life of an anchor working the late shift, you're never really not working. And I feel like you understand this. You're always, right?
Say that. SKK,
Manning's always working. Manning's always working. Because you're constantly, at this point in the game, answering phone calls, answering emails, doing text messages, setting up interviews, calling back your contacts. I can remember on a trip to Napa Valley, the solicitor for the Florence and Marion County area of South Carolina, he's calling me about, you know, a story coming up. So I'm in an Uber trying to take the information saying, okay, Ed, I'll have them call you back. I'm in Napa Valley. So you're never not working. So while there is typical day schedules, this business is not typical in so many ways. But for me, I would go in at 2:30. We'd have an editorial meeting. Then you start writing scripts. Then you go down to the studio. You start recording what we call news breaks, which are basically teases for your upcoming shows. I did the 5, I did part of the 5:30, and I did the 6. So you're constantly doing all your scripts for that. You're doing radio reports. You're helping do for the web. And then you take a quick break after the 6:30 and you're back about, you know, 9 to start that all over again for the 11 o'clock show. So as a main anchor, you know, there's a vetting process. The producer, the reporter, they're putting in information and then you're the last to go through it and see it. That doesn't mean you always see everything, because when news breaks, sometimes you have to read things cold, but that's semi-typical in a nutshell. In between answering phone calls, emails.
So you were an active, when I say an anchor, you obviously did all the anchor duties, but you were assigned stories to go out and do as well?
No, not at this point. Now, we had special reports that some of us would do, you know, periodically, but not on a weekly or everyday basis. We would call those topical series reports, or if we were just doing a special, they may ask you to do a story for that. But, we, you know, main anchors didn't go out every day on stories.
Then you mentioned social media.
Social media. Oh, how we love it.
Greatest distraction in the world.
You have to do it, but it can really be
pain in the butt.
Yes.
I mean, you were responsible, were you not, for putting so many posts per day?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because at this point in the game, you want to engage your audience. And your audience just isn't television audience anymore. Your audience is your Facebook audience. Your audience is your Twitter audience, your Instagram audience. And then once in a while, you throw something on LinkedIn. I mean, there's so many platforms to try to keep up with. So to engage your audience there, you have to post stories. They want to see pictures. They want to see you behind the scenes. They want to see what you're doing. And then you got to answer all of them because you want to stay engaged. Because now, in order for people to have appointment television or appointment radio, you've got to engage with them a different way and entice them to come to the plate, you know, or come to the table when you're actually doing news. So it really never stops.
I often wonder, where do people get all the time to sit there and play with these phones and want to gobble up all this information? Do they not have a job to go to?
Manning, we sound old school, but I think the same thing. But somehow I think a lot of people are multitasking while they're on the job. So I'm just going to leave it right there.
All right. One thing that's always intrigued me, and you referenced it earlier,
okay,
is the consultants.
Oh, yes.
Now, you have consultants that come in and will say, you need to do more of these kinds of stories and less of these kinds of stories.
Oh, yes.
And I've often said, that, and I may be dead wrong, but I always tease Greg Susskind, who is our Channel 9 reporter.
Oh, yes, okay.
And they're based at our studios.
Okay,
and
great.
I said, you know, you guys do too much cops and robbers story.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't do...
That's the police blog.
That's the police blog. You don't do enough of governmental stuff and issue where... And he said, well, you know, we're told what we're supposed to go out and do.
Right. So, you know, oh gosh, we've had consultants come in and just, you know, the stories are, don't put police figures in your stories. Tell the real people's stories. Well, then you go out and you try to find the real people, and that's not always easy. And you have to make sure your stories have the correct information. So you end up having to put the police in it and all of that. But the funny thing is that they do. Consultants often tell you, we need to do more education stories, or we need to do more of this and that and the other. But honestly, Manning, I can tell you this. People say they don't want to know what's going on in their community, or all you show is bad news. But as soon as a police car rolls up in their neighborhood and they see crime tape, they are emailing and calling the station. We want to know what's going on. Why aren't you talking about that? So it's like, you can't win for losing sometimes, right? But consultants, you know, usually have a different twist every time they come in as to what they want you to do. Here's a funny story. So now at our studio, we stand the whole time. We don't sit anymore. The morning crew gets to sit because they're on for hours on end. Now we're standing. We have a set where we move around. I guarantee you, in about 5 years, we'll all be sitting down again in chairs because someone said, it looks good to stand. You know, so it's like...
Now, the consultants also get into what I call the personal side of the people who are on air.
Yes.
What kind of clothing you're wearing.
Oh, yes.
What's your hair do like. I mean, does that not get silly? Do you get, I don't know, does that get silly?
Well, you know.
Or do you get offended by it?
Well, you can't get offended in news because you might as well just pack your bags and go home if you're going to get offended at everything, because everybody has an opinion. And I can remember, you know, people sometimes, I don't like it when you wear your hair like that. I don't like it when you have this particular lipstick. It needs to be darker, and then you'd wear it darker. You're wearing too dark of lipstick, you know, so you can't please everyone. I would have to say there are wardrobe consultants, and they have helped in the past, but for the most part, thankfully, I think I was doing okay on my wardrobe. I never got that kind of criticism, but there are colors and styles they would prefer you to wear if you can. But honestly, right now, now, television's gotten where they don't spend any money, so we don't have any consultants right now. So, poor consultants. I feel bad for them, but most people have moved. Companies have moved away from that. But back in the day, they were there, you know, every couple of months, telling you something different to do.
And the way your story lineup is done, I mean, you have a producer who basically fetters out what stories we're going to cover for the day. And they send the people out to cover those?
Right. Pretty much. You have an editorial meeting. Everybody gets together. The news director, assistant news director, the executive producer, the producers, the reporters, the anchors. And, you know, you huddle up and you talk about what's going on for the day. And then you decide, okay, this story seems to be one we can pursue today. You can get your interviews. You can do it. It's a day turn. You can get it done. And it's something that's relevant and happening. Now, listen, recently with COVID, it's been all about the DHEC reports coming out, the numbers. Of course, now we're in testing and vaccines. So some of the stories just evolve automatically, depending on the information you're getting from the community, from the hospital. Same thing here, right? Wherever you are, that would be the case. And where are you having your next vaccination clinic and that sort of thing. But then some stories are enterprise stories where you would hope your reporter has done some digging to find out something that maybe the other the competition doesn't have. And then they assign, get their assignments and go out for the day. So,
but it's give and take. In other words, I mean, you may have an idea and the news director may say, well, I think I like that idea, but I want you to go at it from this direction rather than that direction.
Absolutely.
So that's the way it's going. All right.
That's the way it goes.
And with that, we're going to take our mid-program break. This is your opportunity to really shine, Nikki. Are you ready?
This, Manny.
We're reminding everybody that Straight Talk is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is also with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, we do this live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. The magical way, we're just going to battle it out here at the count of three. One, two, three. Are you ready? Go.
Slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nasaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
If you're routinely on the internet, you know that more is better. The more connection speed you have, the bigger the difference in everything you do online. ZipStream from Comporium gives you access to up to 1,000 megabits per second, and the ability to stream, search, download, and play online faster than you ever have before. When it comes to the internet, more is better. So visit Comporium.com and upgrade to ZipStream today.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with extraordinary television personality, anchor extraordinaire, Ms. Nikki Huckabee. How are you? How are you? You've already been on the show. This young lady has been in our community now for all of about 3 months.
Is that yes, right? Not very long.
She married this guy named Watts.
Yes.
He brought her up here, and we're doggone glad he has.
Yeah, now, I'm glad he did too.
He needs to get you out in the community a little bit more, don't you think?
Yes, I'm working on that.
You are
working on some volunteer opportunities, and so I'm working right now. One time a week, going back to the beach, you know, with my television station. But here, I've decided I should be a domestic goddess. So
I hear you. So the industry,
yes,
has not only from a technical standpoint changed dramatically over your 30 years. I mean, I watch Channel 9. They used to have these great big news vans they would go out with. They don't do that anymore.
No,
just throw it in an SUV, take it out there. And I was talking with the cameraman the other day, did not know this technology existed because they used to use the big mass with the antennas and all. Now they got a little thing about the size of a pack of cigarettes that goes on the back of the camera that beams the signal right on back to the station.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable how technology has changed how we gather news today. Literally, you can put this thing on your back, you know, like a backpack,
right,
and it's a moving microwave, and you can go across the country and report live from wherever for your station just by this small piece of technology that's a portable microwave. And the cell phone has changed everything. And the way that you gather news, anybody can really be a news gatherer now with phones and that sort of thing. But technology has just changed so much, and the one thing that I know for sure it has done, it has made people want information faster. They want, you know, the drive-through is just not fast enough for us. It's the same concept in news gathering. They, as soon as you get a nugget of information, the people want to hear about it. I'm not sure that's always the best way to deliver your content so quickly. I've been one. I like to make sure we have everything, you know, all the content at one time. But that's just not how it is anymore. You know, you feed your audience as much information as you have at the moment about the situation. And you keep saying, and when we get more, we'll bring you more. And so you're just constantly feeding the beast. You're just kind of giving them information as you get it, which keeps them engaged. And again, like we said before, with that sort of technology, hopefully bringing them to the table to watch the news on television.
There's pluses to minus and minuses to that, though. You have people who have the video component off their phone. They can feed that stuff to you when your people aren't there. But the other side of it is when these people decide they're going to become their own reporters and start throwing it out there on social media, and they just don't have the facts right.
Well, we've seen that happen over and over again. The things that hit social media that end up becoming a part of the news, I don't know how you stomp that. I think that as a news organization, you have to make sure before you take any content from anyone else that you use that information that you get to go along with that from other sources. You know, if it's someone recording a crime, you've got to make sure you speak with police and get all of the details before you engage in that, before you actually use that as a part of what you're delivering that day. And that's a lot to do because it's so easy just to want to grab that and put it out there and say, hey, here's what happened. But a good journalist, a good news organization will do their due diligence before they engage in material like that just to say that's the story. Yeah. There's always more to what someone has recorded.
This way what the public is crying out for. Give me that. You must have more. Well, it takes time to pull that stuff together.
It does take time. Yeah. And oftentimes there's the pressure for news organizations to be first, to make those numbers, to get that revenue that comes from those numbers. And oftentimes, we have failed as journalists to make sure we've gotten something right before we put it out because the pressure is so great to be number one, to be first, to put it out there.
Right.
So you really have to work hard in this industry to make sure you're doing right by your viewers, right by your audience.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on the national level. When we talk about network news and the how could you call it? We do not have people like Walter Cronkite anymore.
I wish we did.
We don't. We have news that is very slanted one direction or the other direction. And as a result, you see this erosion of people who are tuning in to network news. We've just lost the ability to tell the story exactly the way we saw the story without putting our own flavor in there and turning around a whole set of facts to accomplish, you know, the agenda that we have.
I have to say, before I speak about national news, what I have been involved in for 30-plus years is local news.
Right.
And I do take pride in my news organization's ability to just report the facts. There's never been an agenda to slant it one way or the other to accommodate anyone's political views or to generate income. What it is what it is. And I pride myself on being that type of person myself. I have no agenda to skew things one way or the other. This is what happened today. You make your own decisions about what you see that we are presenting on our station. When it comes to the national level, I don't even like to get involved in it because I've seen what's happened, and I really think that's a reflection upon revenue and just catering to certain people's beliefs. And it's very sad. If you just reported what happened, then everybody would be the same. But I guess at the national level, the niche is there to try to cater to certain audiences. I really don't like to dive into that because that's not what I've been involved in. I hear you and what so many other people say, and it's just unfortunate that the Walter Cronkites of the world are no longer, leading the way. Things
All
have
right,
changed.
So what do you see happening here in the next, 10 years in your industry, television? I mean, with all these changes, and as you pointed out, it's all coming down to the bottom line. You've had, one corporation own your business, another, and it's all bottom line kind of stuff these days.
I've thought about that a lot. I think for myself, I was really thankful that I went out on top while it was really good. We were thriving. And, when you can go out on top and it's the cherry on top of the banana split, right? Things are good. I do think down the road you'll start to see the way television news is presented differently, and maybe in the fact that there won't be as much, because you'll be delivering content, I think, through websites and your social media platforms a lot more than maybe you will with television. I mean, right now, you look at it, Netflix, Hulu, all of these, media organizations, they're offering things as you want them. So I don't know. I just think that technology will continue to change that. And I'll be watching to see what happens.
So as you were, you basically are saying your decision to get out of the business so that you could come to Rock Hill, of course.
Yes.
Was probably good timing.
I think it was a blessing. I mean, I really do thank the good Lord above that he sent Watts back into my life when he did, because I was sitting there on the anchor desk watching the business change. Yeah. And my co-anchor is 9 years older than me.
Ooh.
And I knew he would be retiring soon. And, I just wanted to go out while it was good.
And you did exactly that. And
yes.
By golly, you're here in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
And I love it.
And we're
I
happy.
Love Rock Hill. I love
that's
it.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program.
I've enjoyed it so much, man.
Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, we always call over here Dr. Scott Oliver, who's going to come over and assist us with this. You got to meet
good.
Dr. Scott Oliver.
Yes.
He's a legend in his own mind.
I know him.
Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it at the count of three, everybody. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.